Yeah, g'day everyone. It's that time. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. A warm welcome to all Queenslanders with us. And if you are from south of the border, I guess a welcome to you as well. We're going to be with you for the next 45 minutes roughly to preview everything that promises to be State of Origin Game 2 in the 2023 series. Before we get to all that and more, let me welcome in my gorgeous co-host as always, Winston Churchill. Winnie, how are you, my man?
Mate, you're going to share many truths on this pod. That's not one of them, but I'm pleased to be here. Can't wait to talk about the game, which is tomorrow night, you know, just over 24 hours away. If you guys want our thoughts on Ben Hunt, the biggest story in the rugby league world outside of Origin, we did 10 minutes on the top of our recap show, how we feel about that situation and five possible landing spots. Our NRL tips did not go well on the weekend. Had a losing weekend, but we did win our weekly same gamer at $7. And I can say we've got three same gamers to share for game two, plus some value try scorer tips. And then going back to Origin 1, we didn't hit any of our same gamers, but we did both correctly pick Queensland, who were the underdog in game one. Of course, we'll share our predictions tonight, as well as breaking down the matchup and sharing all those other markets people love, like our man of the match. And I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, perfect, mate. I can't wait for this show either. It is well and truly Origin time. The NRL takes a back seat. Let's start with the team list reaction. We'll bring up the Queensland team list on screen and we'll start with them if you prefer.
That'll be up there in a second, mate. And you can tee us off with Queensland's biggest advantage if you want.
Yeah, let me start with that. So for my Queensland biggest advantage, I hate to do it again because I did go this way in game one. Let me shift over a little bit, but I'm going to go the bench again. I just think that the Queensland bench of Harry Grant, Thomas Flegler, Moeki Fotsiwaker and Ruben Cotter is really, really powerful. And the Blues bench isn't horrible, but I just think it's better than Utu Ikemanu and Reece Robson on debut. And then, of course, Cam Murray and Liam Martin. Liam Martin being an edge player there. So, you know, you look at the Blues bench, we have three middles. They are only carrying two. And I guess we do have that advantage because Ben Hunt is our starting hooker, but he's also a true utility, whereas they are rolling with two straight hookers. So I'm going to go to the bench again, Winnie. Am I being too cliche there? Rate it, hate it. And what do you think Queensland's biggest advantage is?
No, I think that's a fair point as well. When you've got like the man who was man of the match in game one is rolling off the Queensland bench. That says a lot. Queensland's big advantage, can I say coaching? That's what I said before game one. I elaborated on that enough before game one, if you caught our preview there. I think Queensland's biggest advantage here is the ability to build on game one towards an even better performance tomorrow night. You know, game two requires a higher standard from both sides. Everybody gets better as you get into the series. And I look at the changes for Queensland, just three. Gilbert's a great player, but only played, 10, 15 minutes? Let me bring up the Queensland squad again as I continue to discuss them. Didn't play a lot, so it's not like Gilbert was a big part of the reason Queensland won game one. Arrows valuable was a backup forward, but still is replaceable, and even so is a winger in Cobbo, especially when you bring in three young guns who've all played for Queensland before, and in Nane's case, played for Australia too. None of these changes are kind of key positions, and none of them are going to hamper Queensland's ability to follow Billy's vision and to improve on what they did in game one and really build on it, not to mention improve on what Queensland did last series. And I think that's Slater's key message. It doesn't matter who's up 1-0 or down 1-0 or who's the favourite or not. It's about challenging his team to produce their best performance under his tenure. And when I started to think about best performances by a Queensland team, start to think, Clarkie, when was the last time do you reckon Queensland won a game by more than 8 points? Like won a game that didn't go down to the wire. How long ago do you reckon that was? They play three times a year.
Besides last game, which they won.
Well, they won last game by eight.
By the exact margin. Okay. Yeah. Even in that era of dominance, they weren't winning by big margins, were they?
I mean, you've got to go back 6 years. So let's look at it. Like you got a narrow victory this year. Two narrow victories last year to win the series 2-1. The one narrow victory was a dead rubber in 2021 and they lost the series. They won the series in 2020. Both games were narrow victories for the Queenslanders. Narrow victory in a dead rubber in the end of the 2018 series. That was Billy Slater's last game. He got man of the match there, but DC was robbed. I tipped him at 19-1. 2019, was it one win for Queensland as well? It was a narrow victory. I was there. I think we won by 4 points. So you go back to the decider in 2017 and Queensland did win 22-6. And you're talking about a team that had Cooper Cronk and Cam Smith in it. And that was actually Cam Munster's first ever Origin game. So he's had a whole Origin career and never had a comprehensive victory. That's the opportunity that Queensland have in front of them here, because they can smell blood in the water. It is a tough spot for New South Wales. If New South Wales can't handle the pressure in the cauldron tomorrow night, this is the type of game where Queensland has that continuity in key positions again, and Queensland has opportunity to actually win a game and dominate from start to finish, like those kind of going back into that dynasty level side like they were able to do. But it's been a long time to coin a phrase there, or to borrow a phrase, since Queensland won a game by double digits. It's definitely possible Queensland could do that tomorrow. So I see that as their biggest strength, the ability to keep getting better together.
There's a really interesting stat there. And, you know, when we talk about them going all the way back and winning by more than eight, we're talking players like Billy, now the coach, JT Smith, who have been in camp with these guys, which as a Queenslander, it's hard not to be excited by that as well. And, you know, for the Blues, it does seem when they've won these series in recent years, they've been big scores. Like, I think of that Perth game where they put like 30 on us. And every time the Maroons seem to win, it's a tough, gritty, tight victory. And so for the Blues' biggest advantage, I think that kind of leads into it is, I thought it was their backs. We go back to game one. I thought absolutely had the advantage in the backs there. But, you know, Hammer's shown now. He is pretty much on par with Turbo in recent form. And so have a lot of those other players now. I think they're almost viewed as equals. So I think their biggest advantage is away from the team sheet. It has to be their underdog mentality, and they need to adopt it. And, you know, it could be hearsay. It could be a bit of a joke how people say the Queensland spirit. But, you know, you look at that line there, Queensland are expected to win this. They're probably the shortest price they've ever been in 10, however many years, I don't know. They looked pretty short last time I had a look there. So the Blues need to adjust their mentality and tap into the mindset that if this doesn't go right for us, we're not going to win this one by 10, 20 points. We need to face adversity, come back where required, and just fight tooth and nail for the full 8 minutes. Because the truth be told, in game one, if the Blues did compete tooth and nail for the full 80 minutes, they were there to win it. The reason why they lost in the end is because they were not competing tooth and nail. Lindsay Collins somehow gets up above Teddy. Munster's ready there for the offload, just in case, whilst Blues players are walking in back play. So it's a bit of a strange one, but that's where I'm going there for the Blues. I think they can adopt that mentality and it can be a real positive for them. What do you think their biggest advantage is?
New South Wales' biggest advantage is that the NRL wants a decider. I'm partially joking. I'm partially joking. I'm not a full-blown conspiracy theorist. There's people who watch who are. If you're a full conspiracy theorist, easy. Back New South Wales at 295 to win the game head-to-head, right? Because the conspiracy theorists will say that follow the money and there's a lot more money at stake and for everyone involved. If we get a decider, think about how much bigger build-up and interest and engagement that final game will get. I'm never the guy that says, oh, this is rigged. What I will say is, what worries me from a Queensland perspective is that I do think if anyone's going to get the rub of the green, if anyone's going to get maybe more 50-50s their way, it should be the Blues. And I don't think the NRL says anything to Ash Klein like, make sure the Blues get the better calls. But I think they might subtly say, you know, don't let the home crowd, you know, dictate the calls or, you know, intimidate at all. Make sure that, you know, Queensland, you know, are penalised for any time they're bending the rules, which, of course, they're often accused of doing. So for the sake of making this game to a better game and potentially giving us a decider, I do kind of think that, you know, and a bunker call, we know how there's like always a 50-50 bunker call and it can be a try, it can be whether a player gets a sin bin. There's so many things these days that can decide a game outside of the players. So I had to mention that. I'm sorry. What about natural human desperation? I don't think it matters what you tell yourself, what your coach tells you. The team down 1-0 is more desperate. That's in New South Wales' favour. You mentioned the kind of the underdog factor or the fact that Queensland have never or haven't been such short favourites for a very long time. And certainly, well, not even such big favourites as Queensland are, right? I don't think Queensland have been favourites full stop in a game since 2017. So I'd love someone to correct me if I'm wrong, but I was thinking every single game and I have Queensland was either an underdog or it was pick'em. There was basically no clear favourite or underdog going back. And even in game one, 2017, Queensland was like a 1-point favourite at home. And for the record, Tripod tipped New South Wales to win and we gave a bonus tip, New South Wales by more than 20. People said we were crazy. New South Wales won that game by 22 points. But this is the first time in a long time New South Wales can tap into that genuine underdog card. And I don't know, it's such a big game. Does that take pressure off New South Wales? Like you'd say you can't take pressure off a team that's down 1-0 when they were the favourites going into the series. So maybe it doesn't take pressure off, but to some degree, people don't expect the Blues to win this. And I wonder if that frees them up, or if anything, it takes away Queensland's power, which is that they love to thrive as the underdog. They can't possibly fool themselves into thinking they're the underdogs in this one. Everyone knows Queensland are the favourites and expected to win. But let's talk on the field. New South Wales' biggest strength to me is their power runners. And I'm looking at Haas. I think he's the best prop in the game. He needs to be the best prop on the field tomorrow night for New South Wales. But you've got Junior Barlow, Liam Martin, outstanding game one. Cam Murray, Hudson Young runs it so hard. Yuto Kamanu on debut. Right, these are power runners that can generate momentum and offload a quick play of the ball. And you've got speed at the dummy half position. Robson leads the competition in meters for hookers. And, of course, Damian Cook. I've heard a rumor that he's quite fast when he runs near the ocean. In any case, you've got those two hookers that can take advantage. And both your first receivers, whether you're left or right of the ruck in Moses or Luai, these are dynamic runners and players that can beat a man given half an opportunity or go into a gap. So making inroads in the middle of the field is where I see the Blues' biggest advantage on the field.
Mate, I love that. And just on the Cook and Robson, for what it's worth, I believe they're first and second in the NRL for scoots outright between them. So I do expect Blues can be very active from that dummy half position on Payne Haas. We're also hearing his minutes will increase. Brad Fittler is pointing to that, which I think is a great idea. You mentioned the Blues being underdogs and how they handle that. We've got to consider the other side of the coin too. How do the Maroons handle being big favourites? They've not had to do that since 2017, as you said. And not just slight favourites, like big. They're expected to win at home, everything in their favour. So that's also the interesting thing. Thing I love most, though, that you said, no other option to win for the Blues. There's no other option. The Maroons know if we lose this, we're still in it. And so they do have that mindset advantage, certainly if they tap into it. And if they don't, the NRL is expected to lose $3.5 million in potential profit if this is not a decider. Let's go to the key matchups. I'm going to go Teddy and Walsh. I think, and keep in mind, like I backed Teddy to bounce back in his game. I think he's a champion player. I did say never write off a champion in big games like this. So, you know, look at Teddy. Look at what he's done in his career. He rises to the occasion. I think he'll be set for a big one. Reece Walsh, meanwhile, was unreal in game one. You're telling me this guy's been working with Billy Slater for another 2 weeks or another week at minimum? That's scary to think of. The best fullback of all time working with the best fullback for Queensland at the moment. So I'm going to go the fullbacks. If I could offer a second one, Winnie, I'm going to say the front row. I don't think Payne Haas and Junior Polo have actually played their best footy in Origin. But if they get 9 out of 10 performances, it sucks to say as a Queenslander, but it'll be really hard to beat that side if Big JP and Haas play 9 out of 10 of their potential. Where do you go to this one? What's your key matchups between the lineups?
First thing that came to me is Moses versus DCE, particularly kicking game. And it's not just an individual matchup because the effectiveness in the kicking game, it's going to come down to how the forwards lay the platform. Can you kick on the front four? Where are you kicking from? How strong is the kick chase? And on the other side of the coin, you know, you can be hampered if you're getting slow play the balls, if there's good kick pressure. But ultimately, I think this game for periods is going to be possession and field position game and getting those old-fashioned cage kicks right and you know, bogging the opponent down and limiting opportunities, but also attacking kicks. You know there's going to be those times where there's the attacking kick for an aerial contest or that perfect kick in behind the line, maybe early in the tackle count. Those, sometimes those are tries. Sometimes those are the ones that end up in sin bins, you know. So who can be the deadlier kicker in the key moments? And I feel like Moses, as every bit as great of a kicking game as DCE, coupled with the fact that Moses is that additional threat that he can step a kick chase or take on a short side on fifth tackle. So I definitely think New South Wales has to win that matchup, and I think they can. I'll mention a couple more, but you already said Walsh Teddy, which came to mind for me. Ultra important. When you've got Teddy being an Origin legend and Walsh was on debut last game, yet it was Walsh that outplayed Teddy. And you know that the young fella is going to have a big target on him again, not just because naturally he's young and plays a key position, but some gestures and comments in the first game as well. And the last matchup that I want to talk about is the 13 position, because going into the series last year, the only question about lock forward was in terms of who's the best in the game was, is it Isaiah Yeo or Cam Murray? And New South Wales have both of them. But after the 2022 series, the best lock in the world was Pat Carrigan. I think he proved that. I think this is a huge game for Isaiah Yeo. He doesn't have his safety blanket there, Nathan Cleary. There's no Abbey Coruscant either. Is Yo the best clear-cut, you know, 13 for the Blues right now in this critical position, or is it Cam Murray? But then how's Cam Murray's groin? You know, is that an issue? How will Cam Murray be deployed? Will they both be on the field? Will they both be in the middle of the field, which is something I've called for and you've agreed as well? Roll Cam Murray out as an extra, you know, mobile prop, loose forward. Because I feel as a Queensland, I'm sure you would agree with me, we have confidence in a guy like Pat Carrigan. We know he's going to give us a 9 out of 10 tomorrow. That's just how we feel, the confidence he instills in us. Does New South Wales believe they're going to get a 9 or 9.5 out of their, you know, main 13 in this game? Because I think New South Wales has to match Queensland's lock forward play at a minimum to be in this game. And maybe the best lock on the field has to be in a blue jersey for the series to be 1-1 late tomorrow night.
And the interesting thing about Isaiah Yeo, he has been promoted to vice captain in Cleary's absence. So even more pressure on him to perform. You mentioned the kicking game between Moses and DC. I got the stats up while you were talking there. So this year, Daly Trevens is averaging 435 meters per game. Moses is second outright in the NRL at 468. But of course, one of those games was where he kicked over 1,000 kilometers, breaking an all-time record for meters kicked in a game. And the wingers, when you said these precision high balls, well, there are rumors today that it was going to be Coates matching up against Brian To'o. Well, Brad Fittler doesn't want that. He wants to move Addo Carr to the other wing because he has a bit more height to contest those potential kicks across to Coates, who we know is fantastic in the air. Well, that's pretty much our reaction to the team list, guys. But before we go any further on that, let's hear an exclusive market insight from the Top Sports CEO, Tristan Merlihan.
And I will play that, but actually I'm going to just jump into the comments as well because we appreciate those are flowing through. So I thought let's respond to some. Ryan says Tino should be copping a ban a few rounds for that elbow. So I know people will be watching Tino's
technique. This is what he does. That video you shared is so funny.
It's illegal. Jeremy Kerwin says the Blues are formidable up front, hope Queensland smash them at Suncorp. Zachariah says the Blues will humble Queensland. Mango, a question. Do you think Robson being a workhorse in the middle could be a difference, then bring Cook on to open the game up? So I think that could be a strong game plan. I do believe that Robson starting makes a lot of sense, and you've got to factor that in with potentially like a first try scorer bet. Zach Brown also talking about who's starting and who's not. He's got, obviously, we've had the starting lineups on the screen, and Frizzell and Young. No, is that right? The latest teams, Clarkie? I'll bring it up again, the Blues team. Frizzell and Young are named to start, but I think Liam Martin will actually get the start. And there's even an outside chance Cam Murray could. So you've got to keep your ear close to the ground or just follow Clarkie's page because he gets that information out to you. And Josh asks, any bets given out yet? We have not given out any of our official plays yet, so you haven't missed that yet. Josh, thanks for commenting, guys. Keep them flowing through as we do now throw to Tristan with a market preview for the game.
G'day everyone, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've got a big game tomorrow night with the second game of the Origin where Queensland are trying to wrap up the series. They're going very, very firm favourites. They haven't been this short for a number of years. That's obviously on the back of their win in Adelaide, the home ground advantage at Suncorp, and of course those two key outs, which is Nathan Cleary and Latrell Mitchell. So the market actually opened at 3.5. When Cleary came out, it went to 4.5, and then when was shifting up to 5.5, and then when Latrell came out, it jumped again over that key number of 6, and it got to 6.5. But at that point, at that line of 6.5, we have seen some money for the New South Welshmen at the plus. Obviously, that's working on the theory that these Origin games are traditionally very tight. So we've got $1.42 Queensland, $2.85 New South Wales, and 6.5 is the line. We have seen a bit of a shift upwards in the overs as well. There's been a bit of support for the overs. Obviously, punters expecting it to be a bit more open than game one, and there's plenty of points in both sides. So we've got a stack of different markets, got a heap of unique ones. Check them all out on the website. The State of Origin Bingo is a good one if you want to sink your teeth into that. Have a look at that. Obviously, Jacob's cooked up his mixed matchup, so that's all on the site as well. Just in terms of the big bets, the money, as I said, when we've started elevating our limits once we've had more certainty around the team, that's been surrounding the plus. So at the moment, despite Queensland being firm favourites, they're actually a winner for us, and we lose on New South Wales at the head-to-head in the start, but that could all change. Obviously, game day is when you see the real large amount of action. So looking forward to the game. Good luck if you're having a wager on it, and gamble responsibly.
Thank you very much to Tristan there. We have a comment from Tom there, which I'll just quickly address. I just want to double check absolutely that I've got it correct. So, yeah, as reported by the Sydney Morning Herald, Crichton would link with the Fox and Turbo would be with Brian To'o because they don't want Coates to have that aerial advantage over Brian To'o, who stands much shorter than him. But we just heard from Tristan, the Top Sport CEO of Top Sport there. And I'm going to take on Toppy for game two. I didn't have any luck in game one, but I'm back. Now, before I get to these two tips that I'm going to hand out, it is very important that I note these. The price for these is only going to hold until roughly 7:30 p.m. So if you do like them, you do have to be quick here. For Queensland, going to go Valentine Holmes at $3.40. You heard that right, $3.40 for Holmes, who has 11 tries in his 14 Origin games. He has scored the first try in his last game at Origin, and he's actually scored the first try 6 times out of 14. So it's a great strike rate there to even go first. We only need him any time, though, let's be clear. He has 7 tries in his last 5 games at Suncorp, so a better than 100% strike rate when playing at Suncorp in the last 5. And I just look at game one, and I think I was really keen on Holmes to score there. Queensland did score 2 tries. It was through a centre. However, it was Hamisou Tabuai-Fidou. I think it's Holmes' turn in this game, and at $3.40 odds, you better believe I am interested. Winnie has just brought it up on the screen there, my New South Wales. And can I just say this, Winnie? Adokar was $1.30 at some stages to score in the World Cup for Australia. We've got him at $3 here, one of the most prolific try scorers in the league. He has scored 10 tries in his 13 Origin games. New South Wales' all-time record is actually only 11. So if he's to score 1 try here, then he moves to equal first in New South Wales Blues history. The last two games he played was in 2021. That was a double, but it goes further. He scored a double in the last 3 games he's played that are game two Origins. So he's a game two specialist there, scoring a double in the last 3. Now, please note with these as well, these bets can be singles, they can be placed in a multi, they can even be combined together in a multi, but they are only available until 7:30 p.m. Winnie, a short chance for you there. You like Holmes, you like Fox?
These guys definitely going to have a chance. And what I like about your bets as well, or just betting anytime try scorers in this game, is as we're about to share our predictions, I can say I do see a more open affair. I know there were quite a few points late in Adelaide, but I potentially see this game could even be higher scoring and more opportunities for the attack of both sides. So can't go wrong playing some class superstar outside backs there who'll certainly get their opportunities.
Absolutely. And what I've tried to do with those bets for you guys as well is really just go back to stats, strip away any bias or opinion and just look purely at what statistically our best options are. And that's what I've done there. Now, we will go to our game predictions in just a moment. Before we go there, let's touch on try scorers one more time. We've got a clip from Nicole, who is the founder of Wiki.
24 hours until game two, guys. Hope you're pumped up. Look, I found Jeremiah Nanai at $4.30 to score a try anytime on bet. Absolutely love this price. It's almost double the price you would be, or he would be, going off his career strike rate. A couple of absolute pearls I've also found. Frizzell and Hudson Young both paying $51 to score the first try on Neds and Ladbrokes. Absolutely ridiculous price. Anyways, guys, if you just Google Wiki Linktree, you'll find all our content, data tools, everything ready to go for State of Origin Game 2. Good luck and gamble responsibly.
Good stuff there from Nicole. And for Jeremiah Nanai, there was rumours today that they might even look to start Ruben Cotter and move Nanai to the bench. So that could help him coming in with a bit of fatigue. You mentioned the aerial specialist. Well, we know he's an aerial specialist, scoring plenty there for the Cowboys. So another great option there. Let's jump into our game predictions, Winnie. Pretty much following the same suit that we followed in our Game 1 preview show. Your predicted winner. Now, everyone knows when I go through this and when I'm tipping my own Titans, I'm pretty biased. I'm usually just going to go my team. You seeing it that way, or are you bold enough to sit here as a Queenslander and tip the Blues? How are you seeing this one?
Well, look, if I was to tip New South Wales, then people would already know that because I should have then also tipped +6.5 as a best bet if I believed New South Wales was most likely going to win. I don't believe that's the case. I certainly think the Blues are a chance. And as I said, head-to-head around the $3, desperate to win the series and have the ability to stay alive in the series, to have the opportunity to win it in Sydney, where I honestly think the Blues could actually be favourites if they were to win game two. I'm not going to write them off, but if I have to pick the winner, I can't bet against Queensland right now at this point. And it goes back to what I said about I'm far more sure and confident what I'm can expect out of Queensland, I think they're going to play great. What I'm less certain about is New South Wales. A lot more question marks there. And so they're capable, but can Freddie make it happen? And can those star players, we haven't really even mentioned Tom Trbojevic yet, and you did talk about the pressure Teddy's under, and we've talked about Isaiah Yeo, who, you know, starts for the Kangaroos, right? And you know, obviously pressure on like Mitch Moses and guys that are coming in, but also guys that have been there for a little while, need to really step up and win a game they're not expected to win, because Queensland have been able to do that multiple times. So I'm not kind of jumping in at the $1.45 on Queensland now. This is probably not worth much, but you know, a week ago or a few days ago, I was looking at Queensland -4.5 and thinking that that was a good bet because Latrell Mitchell and Murray were under injury clouds, and they're both so important that I felt like the line might move if, you know, you had that chance they could be out. But Latrell got scratched too early into the camp. Now the line's 6, 6.5, you know, look around, because if you do want to lay the points with Queensland, you can get a flat 6. But obviously, if you like New South Wales, you get that +6.5. So as I said, no best bet. I've got some same gamers coming up that I do believe are great value. But if you just want my score prediction, I'm going to go Queensland 27 defeats New South Wales 20.
Off the cuff, could you get $1.80 for Blues +8.5? Or do you think when you go to pick that line, it would fall under that price?
Be in the $1.70s.
Yeah, bummer. Because I would wonder if you would have went that way for a best bet, given the stat we read off before. I'm going to go Queensland as well. I think 1 to 12 is the most likely margin. And I just think for Blues fans and footy fans here, they're freaking out a little bit about the selection of Mitchell Moses. Let's be very clear. He's still an elite halfback. It's still a great selection. I personally would have had Nicho Hynes there, but I think Mitchell Moses is clear next best. So I'm not ruling out the Blues by any chance, but I'm going to go Queensland. Maroons have only lost 2 of their last 9 at Suncorp. So it's a stadium that you kind of already know without that stat. They play very, very well at. I was very close to predicting the score in game 1. Until Lindsay Collins decided to turn into Superman and fly through the air there. So I'll go Maroons 24-20 in this one, Winnie. I think it'll be a high-scoring contest. And I think those points can come earlier in the game as opposed to at the end with what we saw there. As for my series winner, well, we've kind of both spoiled it already, right, by saying the Maroons. History says that 75% of the time, if you win game 1, you win the series. And given the Blues' recent record at Suncorp here, the fact that they've never won at Suncorp and then gone on to win the series. If I was to tip the Blues here, not only would I be going against my state, but I'd be going against the wrong side of history, clearly. So we both seem to see it that way.
But can I just interrupt you there and just say I hate that stat that they say every year. Oh, if you win game 1, you win the series 75% of the time. Yeah, because, I mean, when you boil it all down, in 45 years of Origin, it's close to 50-50. I know Queensland's got their nose in front after the dynasty. But if you call every game is close to 50-50, then yes, once you're down 1-0, what's the odds of winning 2 50-50s? A 1 in 4. So of course, then if you're up 1-0, you've got a 3 in 4 chance of winning. So people say like it's some sort of prophetic thing. I mean, teams that win game 2 win the series. If you just take game 2, they're still going to win it 3/4 of the time if you go back. But just one other point on game 2s. And I don't think this stat's worth anything. It's just purely a bit quirky that Freddie's had 5 series in charge and has won game 2 on all 5 occasions. Read into that what you will.
Yeah, he's a game 2 specialist. That previous quote there, was that win 316, one of the betting proverbs? I like what I'm hearing. Let's go first try scorers. You got anyone that jumps out to you or anyone you really like in that market?
Mate, can I throw it back to you? Because someone said they can't find those top of the market prices on Toppy yet. So I want to give them a nudge, make sure that those get up. I do have a couple of players I've got my eye on, but you go first.
Yeah, mate, I'll take it away with first try score and maybe even MVP if we need. For my first try score, I'm going to stick with Valentine Holmes because he is my take on Toppy try scorer as well. And as I did say, he has actually scored the first try 6 times in his 14 Origin games. So we're talking a below 50% strike rate there, but in Origin, that is remarkable. 6 first tries out of 14 games. That'd be one of the highest first try score strike rates ever. Now, some of those might have been on the wing, absolutely. But I do think that the Maroons will be going his way a little bit more because the Blues will have a plan to shut down Hammer after his dominant 2-try performance. So my pick, Valentine Holmes, first try scorer specialist. Winnie, are you back with us and you've got a first try scorer?
Yes, I am going, well, for Queensland, it's probably same as I went in game 1, Tao Lungi. He was just too busy saving them to score last game. But you know who else could score the first try? I like your man, Dave Fifita, maybe off a short ball from Cam Munster. And have you done New South Wales?
I haven't done the Blues yet.
You take it away.
Mate, I tell you what, for the Blues, I haven't even thought about this because I only went strictly for Maroons, but I'm liking the Fox. Can I be boring and just name my take on Toppy as well? I mean,
that's fine.
The fact that he just needs one more to make history, it's great motivation. What could affect this could be if he does shift left to right, but you know, even if he is paired up with Crichton instead of Tom Trbojevic, Crichton's shown in throughout his career at centers, he does pass. He's not a run first center. He does pass because he traditionally grew up as a fullback. It's part of his game. So yeah, I'll be really boring. Sorry guys. I will say Addo Carr as well for my Blues first try score. I'm
probably equally boring. A response to Colin though, AJ Brimson off the bench. Would you back him for last try score first half? Be very careful there. Brimo is 18th man, right, Clarkie? Sorry, he's only going to be in the game if, you know, foul play rules somebody else out or there's multiple HIA rule outs. So be careful. But bookies are pretty dodgy if they're giving you odds on AJ Brimson because they, unless they're giving you outstanding odds, steer clear of that. Look, what's not going to be outstanding odds is I'm going to take the other winger. I'm going to take Brian Toto. And mind you, I was thinking Toto on the back of the Penrith connection because I'm thinking Luai. Maybe Liam Martin's playing left edge back row again. You've got Crichton out there at left center. You've got To'o on the end of it. But if it's true that Fox is on the left wing, then you got To'o outside of Turbo. And there was a criticism of New South Wales that whenever they went to the right side of the field and often the ball was in the hands of Tedesco, that it wasn't getting passed to anybody else. So, look, To'o is still a natural finisher and such an important player for the Blues as well. And I'm still happy to stick with To'o, even if he does end up on the right wing there.
And To'o's just like the Fox, where they've interchanged left and right their whole career. They've achieved a fair bit on either wing there. So it's not too much of a... And I dare say that it's only coming out in the media today, but the Blues have planned this for all training camp. I don't think it'd be a hasty decision that you just go, crap, we need to change that with a day to go. So I'm not too worried about that at all. Let's go on MVP. Do you want to go first on that one? Anyone jumping out for you?
Yeah, sure. So I'll give one for either team as well because I do think I've found value on both sides. So I'll go New South Wales first. If New South Wales wins, I said the key matchup for me is Moses versus DCE. So I'm not going to look any further than the man who's replacing Cleary. And, you know, Cleary has been assured as what, like $5 for man of the match in some recent Origin games. And Mitchell Moses right now is $12 for man of the match on Sportsbet. So I do think that's great value. If you like the Blues, Moses, the more I've thought about it, and we did react to the Origin teams, I believe it is the right choice for New South Wales. And if they were going to choose anyone else, they would have gone probably Adam Reynolds. But I do think what Moses offers in terms of being an elusive runner as well, in a game that could be a little bit faster and more open, could really suit his style. And we know he's going to kick for a boatload of meters. So I like Moses at 12s for the Blues. Do you have a pick on their side or just one for the team that you've predicted to win it?
Only got one for the Maroons. I've gone with Patrick Carrigan again. If you guys watched our game one show, you'll know I tipped him to be the outright series winner and go back-to-back with the Wallowers medal. Looking at game one, I'll be honest, I was at the pub and I think I got, just through the TAB machine there, $26 and I just put a 50 on that. And that seemed like good value for me for Patrick Carrigan. He ended up with the most hit-ups of any Maroon, the most run meters of any Maroon, equal second tackle breaks for any forward there for the Maroons. And he ended up third in the tackles. Only Harry Grant and, of course, Reuben Cotter made more than him. So just going off that game one effort, the fact that I was, you know, backing him there, I'll back him again here, Winnie. I'll go Patrick Carrigan here. I still think he's a chance for the series MVP as well, because I think he was the second best player in game one. So I'd probably give him the 2 points in that, 3 points to Cotter. If he was to come out here and get another 2 or 3 point, which he did when he won the Wally Lewis medal, he was actually not an MVP of any game. He was the second best in basically all three. So, yeah, I'll go Carrigan again in this one. I'll put him forward as my MVP. If I have to go someone from the Blues, I'm going to mirror you. I'm going to say Mitchell Moses, just because he's at a stage of his career where he's old enough now to harness that pressure and really explode. He's working with Andrew Johns all week and Brad Fittler, two remarkable halves in their own right. And I know how talented he is. It's as simple as that. I think he can have a big game, and I hope he doesn't, but I think he can. That's for sure.
Think Carrigan was a good pick by both of us last game, maybe second best on ground. And you could get 24s or 26s about him a game ago. Of course, Queensland were the underdogs. You can't quite get that price now. 17s, I think, on top is about the best for Paddy Carrigan. Just to clean up what you said, he was second best on ground in game 1 and 3, according to the votes last year. Game 2 was a dominating New South Wales win. So I think all Blues polled in that. But that goes to show you may only need to be a vote getter in two of three games. And if they're shared around, last year was a bit unique because Munster was man of the match game one and then didn't play game three. So it really opened up other opportunities. But for sure, Carrigan could repeat as Wally Lewis medal. That's crazy. Another player who I think is in the mix is Harry Grant. And so that's who I would pick for Queensland. $21 to be man of the match on Top Sport. As I've heard, the Toppy take on Toppy odds are up now. So they should be up for at least another half hour. Your try scorer tips, Clarkie. But I just wonder all this Ben Hunt noise. One sense, it would be poetic that Hunt comes out and has a whale of a game. On the other hand, is this the game where you give more minutes to Grant? Because it has to have been a bit of a distraction and a bit stressful for Ben Hunt this week. And I completely respect that Billy Slater has spoken about how Ben Hunt deserves that jersey and has earned that jersey. But I think when you boil it all down, Harry Grant's still the superior hooker, should play the lion's share of minutes. And there's even can be times where they're both out there. I don't need to make a huge case of what a Harry Grant's capable of. I just think $21 playing a key position is a very nice price for a Queenslander for man of the match.
The confidence I have when I see Harry Grant on our bench and when he comes on, it's just the best feeling in the world. I haven't felt that safe and comfortable as like when I was like a 1 year old and mum was tucking me into bed. Harry Grant fills me with that confidence. I'm just so happy every time I see him on. But Nathan in the comment section of Facebook really disagrees on our Moses call. He says it's laughable. Cleary has already won it all, bar Dally M. Moses has won. Sweet, you know how the saying goes. Yeah, I can agree with that, but Cleary's not available, is he? And so I do think that if we're going to call this a genuine 50-50 game, which most Origins are, Mitchell Moses is more than capable of coming in and having a great game, as shown in his first Origin game, where he had two tries this with a broken back. So, yeah, again, I just think people are underrating Moses, and it does worry me as a Queenslander, I'll be honest there. Of course, that's our game predictions, which feeds into our same game multis. Now, from what I understand, we've got three. We've got two through Better and one through Top Sport. Am I correct in that?
We do, and I'm going to put it straight on the screen and explain them all. So, on Better, coming off the try scorer picks that I've talked about and coming off winning the $7 same game in the NRL on the weekend, I've got one that supporters of either state can get behind. So what you're going to see on the screen now is, and I've said before, the way I see this game playing out is slightly more higher scoring. And I think you're going to need to be in the 20s to win this game. So if you like Queensland, who are strong favourites, as we know, I've got Queensland to be the first team to 20 points. And Fifita, your man, as I mentioned before, to score any time. Clarkie, looking at the makeup of the Maroons, I do think Fifita will play 70-plus minutes, if not the whole game. And I've talked about that electric Queensland left edge before. But if you like the Blues, because they are the bigger underdogs, you get an even juicier price, $8.25 for New South Wales to be the first to 20 and a winger to score first. That is Brian To'o. So keep in mind, it's a race to 20 points. So they don't even have to win the game, but they obviously do have to score 20 or more before the opponent does. And the nominated player needs to get on the score sheet. So whether it is To'o with the Blues or Fifita with the Maroons, $6.25 for the favoured team and the home team, or $8.25 for the outsiders. I mean, you can't even take both, but I know people like to cheer, you know, their favourite side. And then what's going to come up in a moment on the screen is my Top Sport same gamer, which is a three-leg $6 odds combo that's going to capture the way I see this game, which, as I spoke about before, I think New South Wales might get the fair share of calls, and they tend to happen early in the game. If there is any bias at all to help a team out, it tends to come early. I think New South Wales will help themselves out with high intensity and focus, and that doesn't mean that I think that New South Wales will get a big lead, but I think they'll definitely be in the contest. It'll be close. So my first leg is either team 1-8 at halftime, and look, if it's tied at halftime, that's a winning leg as well. But then I do think Queensland wins the second half, which is what wins them the game. So that means they don't have to actually win the game, but they have to score more points than New South Wales in the second half. Keep in mind, if they were to score the same amount of points in New South Wales, that wouldn't be a winning leg. So we've got to have Queensland to outscore New South Wales in the second half. As it opens up, I think Queensland's got the crisper combinations potentially and could be better prepared under Billy and could close this game out, which is why I've picked them to do so, as you have. And that factors into my final leg, which was the second half to be the highest scoring half. And that does need to have more points in the second half. But again, that's a favourite in its market, as Queensland are in the second half head-to-head market. So you put it all together, $6 on Toppy, get up to $50 on that. And our promo code is TPLIVE if you want a Top Sport account. Any thoughts on any of my SGMs this week, Clarky?
Mate, and just to go back to the better ones, so you could back both of those, and as long as both sides scored 20 and you got your try scores, you'd win both multis, right? You don't have to pick or choose with those.
No, because it's race to 20. So only race one team can win your first to 20 points. So, yeah, only one team could obviously be the first one to score 20. But, you know, what hurts sometimes is you pick the team that wins the game, but they don't get to 20. But that's a risk I'm willing to take in this game because of the way or the style of match that I foresee.
Yeah, and also those odds there. My apologies, put that down to the rookie on the show. You're right about Dave Fitter. He played 71 minutes in game one, and he did have 113 running meters. So, you know, he was active in that game. I was looking through. I'm actually surprised by this. He played three games in 2019, two in 2021, and obviously he's returned to the series. He's actually not scored in Origin before. But Dave Fifita this year is a different beast. And if there was any time for him to break that drought, I've never felt more confident. And keep in mind, I'm a Titans fan, so I'm watching him very, very closely. And I did offer him as my try scorer that I was keen on as well in game one. So, yeah.
Yes, I knew you'd co-sign that bet. I knew you'd really like that one, mate.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the graphics too. Who does those? No, I'm only joking. but, yeah, that's our multis. That's our show. Anything further from yourself, Winnie, before we draw back the curtains?
No, I think that's it. So we're going to be back, obviously, on Thursday to preview round 17, but no one cares about round 17 right now. It's all about the game that will decide if we get a decide of it, the key game that we have at Suncorp Stadium on the hallowed turf tomorrow night. And we've, you know, shared our thoughts. We appreciate you guys have chimed in as well. Always appreciate people joining us. And most of all, hope you enjoy the game. Of course, we have a pun on it. Do it responsibly.
Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you at 6:30 p.m. Thursday for our round 17 recap. We appreciate you being here.
Lego.